And good morning and welcome to the program. I'm your host, George Rideout, and as always, working the soundboard is Lynn. Born in Northern Ireland, Michael Tesserian is an expert on the occult histories of Ireland and America. He has made the deepest researches into Atlantis, the origins of evil, and into the Irish origins of civilization. Author of the acclaimed book Atlantis, Alien Visitation and Genetic Manipulation, and is the producer and presenter of the Origins and Oracle series, which explores ancient mysteries and forbidden knowledge. His many appearances on metaphysical radio and TV programs, along with his lectures and workshops, have given rise to the name Teacher's Teacher. To visit Michael's amazing websites, one of the best sites I have come across myself, log on to www.michaeltesserian.com. He is metaphysician extraordinaire. He is Michael Tesserian, and we are lucky to have him here with us this morning. Are you there, Michael?
Yes, George. How are you doing? Nice to be here.
Oh, sure. It's nice to have you. We talked a little bit off air there, and I told you I watched two of your videos last night. They were truly awesome. I just had to tell you, they're just incredible.
Thank you. Which ones were those?
I watched the 2012 and the Origins of Evil.
Thank you. Yeah. Can you believe that the you watched these online, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Origins of Evil wasn't even planned. You know, there's about over 100,000 people have seen that just in like about 2-3 months period. And, you know, I get a lot of compliments for that particular presentation. And yet, you know, again, it was a fluke that it was even filmed. So, you know, that just shows you how fate works.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, you're the author of three books so far. Is that correct?
Well, there's a whole bunch of books, you know, that I'm working on. One is actually available, and there'll be two more available this spring. Actually three more coming out in spring, hopefully, if all goes well, of course, you know. But yeah, right now we have the DVD series, which is 6 box sets, and also one book, which is the book on Atlantis. Those are available to the public right now.
Now, you've given so many presentations, workshops, and classes on things from Western magical tradition to indigo children to psychic vampires, symbol literacy, origins of evil, the Irish origins of civilization, subversive use of sacred symbolism in the media. I tell you, man, your research drawer must be incredibly full.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's too full. And, you know, have to do a lot of presentations, and, you know, it takes away from, you know, doing the books. But if you do the books, then it takes away from, you know, doing live presentations. So I'm always anxious to, you know, do radio shows like this one. Everything in life is about keeping a sort of a happy medium and making sure that, you know, you're producing information and working on what you love, but also that, you know, you're not just sitting in the dark. I mean, you know, the radio, the media, the internet, you know, what good is it if people are studying these things, but it doesn't actually get broadcast to the world, you know? So I'm always anxious to do good radio shows, but, you know, I say no to a lot of gigs. I say no to a lot of different, you know, opportunities because, you know, I just don't feel that the integrity is there or whatever, you know, so I have to screen a lot of different people, you know. But I saw your site, you know, checked out your show, really liked it. So, you know, I'm always anxious to work with people, but, you know, they have to be the right kind of people as well.
I sure appreciate you having you here because, yeah, I'm the same way. I you know, I like to have guests that same thing, that not only do I want to hear what they have to say, but I want other people to hear what they have to say.
Yeah, this is the key thing, you know. And I tell people that who are also very pessimistic. You know, I get a lot of emails, and some of them, you know, tend to say, you know, hey, I'm like you, I study these things, but when I'm talking to, you know, my friends and my colleagues about these kinds of subjects, they just completely ostracize me, or they call me a crank, or, you know, they make fun of me and so on. You know, how do you keep up doing it? How do you keep your optimism? You know, so I get a lot of that. And my response is, you know, that it doesn't really matter that other people like that respond in that way. This is sacred knowledge, and therefore you're going to have, you know, resistance. But that's when the test is whether you really love the knowledge for itself or what it's going to bring you. And, you know, I think about it, you know, there's a lot of people in this world that are into the subjects, any subject, but certainly these occult subjects, because, you know, it brings them a certain ego fulfillment, and therefore when they're troubled and when suddenly the subject matter starts to test them, or when fate starts to test them, you know, then they back off and they get pessimistic, and they kind of wish they'd never started, you know. But I really love this information, and it's something that I've always done all my life, long before any type of, you know, public notoriety or anything like that ever happened, you know. And I'd still be doing it regardless of that. So it's just about whether you love it or not.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm exactly the same way. And I remember you saying on one of the shows that you started like when you were 13 or something. And for me, same thing. My first mentor came into my life when I was 12. And so it's been like I've been doing this kind of thing all my life. And it's a thing for me that I think is so important right now, that you have to do what you are. And you have to live your truth, and no matter what that is. And I think also that when a person does that, the universe will take care of you.
Absolutely. You know, wasn't it Charles Lindbergh when he was flying across the Atlantic, and they said, how is it possible for you, under all that stress, with days and days and days of not sleeping before you left, and then you're cooped up in this tiny, tiny little airplane, you know, how did you manage to stay awake for those three, you know, days, you know, 72 hours or more? How is it possible, he said, when you really need it, you know, unseen forces come to your aid. If you're doing what you love, if what you're doing really matters, you will be assisted. And pretty much that's the story of my life, because there are a lot of challenges on the road. You do get put off. People around you, you know, will question what you're doing and try to force you into the, you know, consensus trance and try to bait you. And you know, there's a lot of adversarial energy that can occur. So, you know, again, the fundamental thing is that you have to do it because it's your bliss. If this is something you're just, you know, doing because, oh, well, you know, for any other reason, then you will have to stop. It'll either destroy you or it will cause you, you know, a great deal of sorrow. So, you know, being a servant of the truth doesn't mean you know the whole truth. This is what a lot of people also, you know, maybe I get emails from people, you know, saying, hey, man, you know, you keep on saying that you know the truth, or, you know, you keep using that word. What gives you the right, you know? And I keep saying to them, but I don't say I know the whole truth. You can serve truth, but you still, you know, maybe don't know the whole thing. To your all intents and purposes, you are a person who is trying to deal with what is real. Sharpen your intuition, sharpen your reason, weigh everything that comes in front of you, study knowledge, get your discernment sharp so you can tell what is false, you know?
Yeah.
Pursue the truth. It doesn't mean that you are the truth or that you know the whole truth, you know, or that you're moving from that kind of egotism, you know, but there is a sacred archive of knowledge that is within every person, and we have been given a reason to know what is right. And most of the world, you know, couldn't care less about that. People who do, you know, they can find themselves very much in a kind of a wilderness, thinking that they're alone. And therefore, the internet right now, you know, and DVDs and radio shows, and it's very important for us to use these kinds of means so that people who are also struggling and looking for the light do not feel that they're completely alone, because they otherwise could feel like that.
Same here. It's something I hear a lot about, you know, people saying that, you know, they're so alone, they have nobody to talk to. And then when they find somebody, they just kind of want to latch right onto you because they're, you know, they don't have anyone else to bounce things off or to share with. And I myself just feel very blessed because through it all, I've always had a number of people that I was able to walk the road with. And in that, it's just amazing how much of a blessing that really is.
Well, that really is a blessing. I also agree with that. And, you know, this is one of the, you know, one of the projects that I'm working on is about psychic vampirism. And what you said there actually contains a lot of wisdom. And that is because that there wouldn't be such a phenomena as any kind of vampirism, any kind of energy vampirism at all, if there were not children of the light. Because it is children of the light, people who have an intense light, an intense love, who are inner directed, who are auto-generated, you know, people who are motivated themselves. It is those individuals who are the most affected by, you know, the negative attentions of other people. It's a very strange quirk of fate. But, you know, the person who's already dark and has no energy is obviously not the victim of psychic vampirism to any great extent. As I've been studying this, I find that it's people of a certain kind of genius, a certain kind of spirit, and a certain kind of power. You know, and even if I may say it's an abused word, but I'm going to say it, a certain kind of superiority, a moral superiority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've so trashed that word that we forget that there are morally superior beings on Earth.
Yeah.
And those individuals are going to be beset by those who see that light, you know, and they want to plug into it. And I find that people on the spiritual path, one of the reasons why a lot of them give up is because they get surrounded by these kinds of individuals, or they already have that kind of adversarial energy in their life, and they don't know how to deal with it or cleanse from it. So this is a big question. You know, we have a blog. You know, people can go to my blog and see comments from people. We're working on this vampirism project, and it's just a really fascinating subject for those who are interested in that kind of thing.
Yeah, it is. You know, and it's just so cool how this has already started this morning, because it's exactly the thing I wanted to start off with this morning. I want to read a little paragraph that you have on your site, because it's just awesome, and it's about psychic vampirism. The man who has murdered his own self becomes a predator who lives to consume what others create. The self-murdered person is the greatest threat in the world and is both violent and destructive toward himself and to everyone he encounters. He can occupy positions of little importance or of the greatest importance. He can destroy a single life or that of a world. He cares nothing for the trail of destruction and ruin that he leaves, only for the satiation of his insatiable appetite. He seeks you and all that is yours. Wow, that is just pretty heavy. And
did I write that? I must have forgotten. Yeah, that is heavy.
But, you know, it's so true. And what is exactly a psychic vampire, and how do we recognize them?
Well, it's impossible to say. It's not one thing. It's not one thing. And one of the reasons why I've taken so long, because I've studied this subject all my life and have been very, very hesitant, George, to even do anything about printing this or, you know, writing about it or doing a DVD. With all the other work that I've done, you know, that the road to a book or the road to a DVD, you know, has been pretty obvious. It's just, of course, taken the hard work to do it. But, you know, it's been quite easy to say, okay, this would make a good program that other people are interested in. With the psychic vampirism thing, I've had to be very cautious because, you see, it's one of those subjects that can easily be manipulated in various ways. And it's because of the ambiguity of what you're talking about. And let me explain exactly what I mean by this so that, you know, because we'll make radio history here, because it's the first time I've ever mentioned this or said it. If you don't present this information correctly, then the wrong kind of people can get off the hook because of their deeds.
Yes.
In other words, there's a penchant within all human beings for denial, for copping out, you know, and not facing who they are. So if you don't present a subject like psychic vampirism correctly, and people go around thinking, oh, well, all my problems are caused by X, well, then, you know, you cause a lot of problems because you just fed somebody with the whole accusation model to be running around saying, oh, but that person's a psychic vampire. Oh, I bought a book on a spinner rack, you know, in Kinko's or wherever, and it told me all about these energy vampires. So I've noticed that, you know, in the past, with certain websites and certain books on this subject, this is what they kind of are, maybe consciously or unconsciously. They create this little, you know, cliche in which people can live by saying, well, see, I can't do anything. It's impossible for me to get what I want or do what I want or be a good person because, you see, there's all these people around sucking my energy. So I got to be very careful, you see, that they don't provide yet another denial mechanism for individuals.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there is actually a bona fide philosophy of energy vampirism, and it's been in the world for a long, long time. The Bible talks about it. Ancient religions talk about it. The myths and legends certainly talk about it, and it is a phenomenon that is occurring in our society, very close to home sometimes. And therefore, you know, I feel like it needs to be known to the world, but at the same time, the last thing that I want to provide for people is this whole other denial mechanism that gets them off the hook of responsibility. Because this world is just itching to get off responsibility. And, you know, responsibility itself is a huge psychological crisis in our world.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a certain responsibility I feel then for bringing this forward. And that's one of the reasons why I'm doing it very deliberately and, you know, working out the right format for it, the right way to deliver this information so that it doesn't get is misused, you know, by people, and if it is, then you catch them on it and go, wait a minute, that's not what this person's talking about. You know, they're not talking about you, you know, being in a state of irresponsibility.
And not only that, it also puts you out there for the feeders.
True, but, you know, people like me are out there no matter what. A lot of my experiences, you know, the people that I've talked to who've had this happen to them, you know, I think it's Let me answer the original question is, what is it? You know, how do you observe it? To give people a basic idea of what it is that, you see, the human being is a person who has a choice to make in their life about whether they motivate by their own energy or by the energy of somebody else. You know, it's like Shakespeare has said, you know, like monsters from the deep, the human beings prey upon one another. You know, the Christ in the Gospel of Thomas, in the Bible, they've all spoken about it. And, we have to diagnose it, because there is this pernicious thing going on. It's just that we have not, you know, sharpened our intuition to notice that it's going on. There's no meter, no electronic gadget that you can pull out and say, oh, look, this person is, you know, taking my life force or taking my energy. And because that scientific device does not exist, psychic vampires are there able to basically flourish, because it's very, very hard to accuse them. It's like I was saying in the Origins of Evil talk and in the Future of Mankind talk, that unfortunately there is no police that you can go to, and there's no judge that you can go to, and there's no court that you can go to when psychic violence is being done to you. In fact, you may not even know that it's being done.
Yeah.
You know, child who's grown up, say, in an abusive, you know, family where the parents are completely violating that child's rights and are even physically or, you know, in any other way abusing that child. You see, that child doesn't know any other reality. And it might grow up thinking that a lot of that is completely normal and then even go on to repeat the behavior because it's literally not understood in its mind that that is completely off the wall, abnormal behavior that doesn't go on elsewhere. So there's a critical issue where we're not even educated, George. We're not even aware of some of the violence that we, you know, do to others.
Yeah.
Now, the most important thing, though, is the violence that we do to ourselves, which is, you know, used to is can be called masochism or sadism to the self. There is a whole form of unseen emotional violence, psychic violence, that is done in the human race, and a great deal of it is done from one person to the other. This is what chiefly interests me. But then I started to notice that there is a lot of this emotional violence that goes on, and because it is, you know, if you kill somebody, you know, you will be hunted, you will be caught, and you will be accountable, and you may spend the rest of your life in jail.
Right.
But yet, we do infinitely, can you imagine, infinitely worse crimes to people. We destroy their emotions. We can actually try to murder their soul. There's actually, this goes on in life, more than we'd want to even imagine. We basically, you know, drop atom bombs on people's emotions. We conspire to do things that, you know, suck their energy and drive them mad and take away their hope and all of these psychic things. And yet the human race is not even aware that this is violence. It just takes it for granted because, again, you know, our eyes have not been opened. So to me, it's absolutely critical that human beings start to open their ideas to this kind of psychic tyranny, this kind of sadism to the self, and then from that move on to understand more about the kind of violence that we perpetrate on people, which may not be illegal in the, you know, quote-unquote sense of the word, the obvious sense of the word. It's not going to happen overnight. This is a, you know, I'm hoping to kickstart this information, this knowledge, so that, you know, the human race does start to get savvy about this, because physical violence, criminal violence, is not the only kind of violence that's going on in this world.
That's for sure. To me, what it's all about is the awareness of self, and through that, all these things can become known to us. If you don't believe that somebody can hurt you psychically, can they?
They can hurt you whether you believe it or not.
Exactly. Oh, I'm so glad.
Even if you are aware of it.
Yeah.
I have heard of cases in which the, you know, people who are in the spiritual community and who know how to cleanse themselves, I mean very deeply, you know, who know how to change their energy, cleanse themselves, they're still under attack. Maybe not as bad, you know. But, I mean, how can you avoid it? It's like somebody going out into the streets and walking downtown and expecting that you're not going to inhale the fumes, you know, or get the dust on you. What we've got to understand is this is a natural phenomenon. As long as people are in the kind of pathetic, inauthentic, and, you know, low chakra state that they're in, full of envy, and envy is different than jealousy, full of anger, full of repressed, you know, content, you better believe that you're going to be walking in a sea of their energy out there. So just like we know that there's weather and you have to protect against the weather, the human race needs to learn what are the keys, what are the ways of you know, finding out about this. I said earlier that it's difficult to identify one, and all I meant by that is that it's each individual case is kind of different because each individual is different.
Exactly, yeah.
Each person is different, and therefore their particular kind of interaction with a psychic vampire is going to be different because it's all based on your own profile. And the vampire, these are usually very cunning people, they modify their behavior based on each situation. Say there is this hypothetical vampire that you know at work. Well, that person isn't going to operate the same way with you as there are for the person in the next office or the people they know at home or their neighbors. They got a different face for everybody. So what I can provide is a general philosophy of this subject. And then it's up to the person to, you know, in all good feeling and in the right way to sort of utilize that philosophy and make sure they're not using it, as I said, for a cop-out where they're, you know, maybe not overcoming some of their own issues because they believe erroneously that other people are preventing them. So it's a catch-22 situation that you can prepare, you can give the tools to somebody. You can sort of lay out the general understanding and show case studies and histories and all of these things and go into the subject in an academic way. But, you know, I'm not responsible for how people apply it. They have to know that, wait a minute, you know, my father may have been sort of a cruel individual, but he wasn't a psychic vampire. He was just a messed up guy who was pretty much good at heart. Or that person who's done some, you know, kind of rotten social things, you know, maybe they beat up people or they were in a gang. You know, that person's a criminal, but it doesn't mean they're a psychic vampire. A psychic vampire is a very specific kind of person that's not just, you know, a normal criminal or some person who's kind of, you know, did some bad things in their life, you know, who maybe went down the wrong road. Some people can be very good at heart. And some people who can appear extremely pure and extremely spiritual can be the worst kind of vampires.
Oh, so true, man. So
right?
True.
So this is an education. And it's very important to kind of find this out before they mess with you, because, you know, it can be very difficult to find out that the guru you've been following, for instance, you know, I'm not going to give any examples here, but, you know, the point being that, you know, the priest, the beautiful lover that you've been with, or the guru you've been thinking is also wonderful and is going to give you enlightenment, you know, you'd be shocked to find out that these people that you've invested a tremendous amount of faith in and appear in front of you is just so bloody wonderful. Excuse my Irish, but, you know, they turn out to be these kinds of beings that we're talking about. So, you know, it can be a shocker, and it's important to be able to test for it first, at least, to test for it, you know, couldn't hurt, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's why it is so important to at least have a basic understanding of what it is to realize when it's happening to you, because a lot of people don't even know that, may not even know that they're doing it, but the ones that are truly the ones to watch out for are just the ones that you mentioned that know exactly what they're doing and, you know, are pretending to be something that they're not.
Right. Now, of course, we all need others, and we all need things from people. So the issue of psychic vampirism goes very deeply into motive. You may need something from a neighbor, or you may need help from a person. That doesn't mean that you're a psychic vampire taking their energy, because you're giving those people the choice, you know, to not help you.
Mm-hmm.
And you love them anyway. It's like saying, you know, okay, I need this person's help, but okay, I see that person's, you know, not able to help me today, or, you know, that's fine. And you basically have a humanness about you. You know, I talk in my Atlantis books about the old alien intervention and the fact that our DNA may have an alien, you know, component to it. It's kind of like that. You know, I try not to cross the two subjects over too much, but the vampire, in a way, is sort of like that. There's a lack of humanness. And it comes, as you read from that quote, that these individuals, because of some primal wound and maybe some past life stuff, I really don't like to get into that too, because it takes you off on a whole other metaphysical tangent, and I like to keep this kind of content. It's already, this content's far out enough without getting into karmas and the past lives. So, but just from a purely psychological point of view, the vampire is basically a troubled and hurt person themselves. They have a negative, you know, relationship with themselves, possibly because of a primal wound situation in their own past. And from that point, they've decided to, you know, stop feeling. Because the pain that they suffered at that point of the primal wound was so intense that, unlike the rest of us, they chose a radical way to deal with that pain, which was to stop feeling altogether. Now, when you meet somebody like that, you might not notice that. You might not notice that they are unemotional people, because they're able to camouflage that. One of the ways that I've studied that they do that is that they tend to be extremely sensationalistic, because if you're not looking very closely, sensation and emotion can appear to be the same, but they're not the same. But you wouldn't know that unless you'd really have the ability to study it. So that you know, they can come across as very charming and extremely sensationalistic, and because pretty much, you know, life is tough and we like these kinds of people, and they appear on the surface to make life easy and make life a joy, you know, they give us a certain pep. And they seem to have a lighter, you know, gayer energy around them. They have a certain ways of making themselves very attractive in this kind of way, very untouched and unsullied. And, of course, then we feel that these are very attractive, possibly even very spiritually advanced people. And, of course, we have a natural drive, don't we, that wants to be around good, exciting, you know, light, and very friendly people.
Yeah.
Well, how many times have you seen the fly caught in honey and it's dead?
Yeah.
Right? It had a beautiful death. That fly had an absolutely beautiful death. The only problem is it's dead.
Yeah.
So we got to, you know, and our ancients knew this. That's why they came up with these phrases like, you know, all that glitters is not gold, and, you know, the problem with something that's too sweet is that it would kill you. You know, all the phraseology is because they knew that these kinds of people existed. The only problem is that we lack the shamanic tradition today to be able to cull these kinds of people and deal with them in our tribes, because we basically still are a tribal people, by the way. It's just that we don't have the shaman anymore who's going to observe the child, observe these people to see if they exist, monitor, you know, individuals that are going through their teenage problems and maybe they've been abused, and then look to heal it. We only have doctors that are good at the patch up, you know. They don't want to they just want to fix the machine. They don't really care for the psyche of people.
Yeah, the quick fix.
That's right. And unfortunately, because of this, then these kinds of psychic vampire people who've murdered their own soul, who've torn out their own emotions, they can be walking loose in the world, and there's more of them than you think.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, I want to ask you how we can protect ourselves against the psychic vampire.
Okay.
Here is Uriah Heep and Rainbow Demon. Enjoy.